All right, first we have Exodus 16, 2 through 4. The whole Israelite community complained against Moses and Aaron in the desert. The Israelites said to them, "Oh, how we wish that the Lord had just put us to death while we were still in the land of Egypt. There we could sit by the pots cooking meat and eat our fill of bread. Instead, you've brought us out into this desert to starve this whole assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to make bread rain down from the sky for you. The people will go out each day and gather just enough for that day. In this way, I'll test them to see whether or not they have followed my instruction. On the sixth day, when they measure out what they have collected, it will be twice as much as they collected on the other days." Our next verse is Matthew 4, 2 through 4. After Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was starving. The tempter came to him and said, "Since you are God's son, command these stones to become bread." Jesus replied, "It's written, people won't live only by bread, but by every word spoken by God." Matthew 6:11. Pray like this: "Give us the bread we need for today."
O Lord, give us the bread we need for today. Amen. And so last week we talked about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God come near, and our prayer that God's kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven, and that we would be part of making that kingdom a reality. But when we talk about heaven, and we mentioned this last week, sort of that when Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven, he very rarely used heavenly terms. He didn't use heavenly language. He didn't talk about streets of gold and mansions and glory and all the things that we associate with heaven. Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven in very earthly terms. And so when he said the kingdom of heaven is like, as we saw in previous series, we've talked about how the kingdom of heaven is like yeast, or like a lost coin or a lost sheep, or weeds and wheat in the garden, or flowers in the field, and all of these very earthly kind of things to talk about the kingdom of heaven. And I think it's, again, a reminder of just how close the kingdom of heaven is, that God is bringing the kingdom of heaven near and reminding us that the kingdom is in our midst. And today in our prayer, it is no different. A prayer for daily bread. It doesn't get much more earthly. We don't think about getting hungry in heaven, but we know that we are hungry here on earth, and that our daily bread is indeed a prayer that all of us seek out. Now, bread is a pretty basic thing. It comes in a lot of different forms. It is my weakness when it comes to any kind of meal, especially when you get those big yeast rolls or, you know, there's a reason we do the Hawaiian bread a lot of times at Methodist churches. I've been told it can't be communion if it's not at least as sweet as the Hawaiian bread. Because Jesus has to be at least that sweet, right? Now, there's all sorts of different forms of bread, but ultimately when it comes down to it, despite all of the luxurious ways that we have found to make bread, at its heart, bread is sort of the most essential thing to life in every culture throughout history. Being able to grind wheat into flour and to make bread for sustenance is a basic essential part of life in some form or another. And in fact, the word for daily bread, daily in particular in Greek, really doesn't say daily. It says that which is necessary to exist, that which is needed to be, that which is essential. So what we're praying for is, God, give me that which I need to exist. Give me that which I need to survive. And bread triggers those survival instincts. Not just bread, but food in general. We see this in the desert when Jesus is tempted. And he's out there and he's been fasting for 40 days and he is famished. And what's the first temptation that he faces? The tempter comes and says, "Jesus, there's rocks everywhere. You can turn them into bread. Probably better bread than you've ever had in your life. Go for it. Just one bite would make you feel so much better. The tempter is getting at one of the most basic temptations in all of our lives, and that is our desire for survival and security. Our desire to know that we have enough, that we're taken care of, that we're going to be fed, that we're not going to go hungry. And yet Jesus responds that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so he reminds us that there is more to life, that God will care for us in so many ways. We also have to pay attention when we think about this prayer to give us our daily bread, where it falls in the context of the prayer that Jesus taught us. It's not the first request. We're not called to be children whose only word in their vocabulary is gimme, right? That's what they know. Give me this, give me that. We instinctively know how to pray that way. We outgrow it in our lives. When we're children, we ask for things by demanding and saying to give me something, but we eventually learn to appreciate the source. We eventually learn to be thankful and to express gratitude for that which we have. But sometimes that growth, that maturity, doesn't translate into our prayer lives. Sometimes our prayers still always seem to start with, give me my daily bread. God, give me whatever it is I need right now. Whatever it is my loved one needs. I mean, just right into it. And we know how damaging that kind of conversation would be in any relationship. If we went to our parents' home, or if we went to our kids, or we went to our friends, or we went to work, and the first thing always out of our mouth was, give me, those relationships would not be healthy. They would not go well. Eventually, people would start to be annoyed by us because they know we're always looking for something. Tragically, that's the image that the church gets in much of the world. People think of the church and they think, oh, well, the church is always just out there saying, give me something. Give me more money. Bring something in. Give me. Church just wants to use us and wants us to serve them and provide for them so they can stay open. But what's the church doing for us out here in the world when we're starving, when we're hungry, when we have no hope? And so we need to mature and we need to grow. And so we remember that Jesus taught us to pray first, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then, only then, do we get to this prayer for our basic needs. Why? Because as the psalmist says, we're called to enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts, to enter his courts with praise, not to enter his gates with petitions and cries of need and desire and want. We come recognizing and acknowledging first God, the giver of all good gifts. God, the giver of all that we need, all of our provisions. And so when we finally get to this request for God, give us what I need to live, give us what we need to survive, to get by, we're not praying it as a desperate person begging because we are afraid we're never going to get it. We're coming as a person who says, God, thank you because you have already blessed us so much. You are the giver of all good things. You are the Holy One. You have brought your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. And so continue to sustain us as you already have. We give you thanks for the ways you have sustained us. And we pray for continued sustenance and care and provision in our lives. And so there's a context there that we have to remember. And as Angela said this morning, too, we also have to remember that bread is always more than just bread. As Jackson pointed out, it is the bread that is broken for us. That on the Emmaus Road, when they arrive at the home with the resurrected Christ, they didn't even recognize who he was, and yet he broke the bread. And in the breaking of bread, their eyes were opened, and they recognized this is the Christ. He is raised from the dead. He is alive. In the breaking of bread, there is a recognition of God's presence with us. The breaking of bread doesn't just happen randomly throughout our days. The breaking of bread in Jesus' context always happened around a table, with family, with loved ones, with friends. It happened around rich conversation. The table was not a place of small talk. In fact, the table was the primary place where they talked about the two things that we're not allowed to talk about at the table today, right? And that's religion and politics. Your favorite topics at Thanksgiving, right? But Jesus lived in a culture where these were the primary things that were talked about around the table, where the table was the place to hash out ideas, to really relate to one another, to really connect in deep relationship with one another around the meal, around the feast, around the bread. When he says daily bread, he's not talking about the bread you get on a chicken biscuit for a Bojangles drive. He's talking about the bread that you get in sustenance, in relationship, in community, when you sit down to feast together. And those relationships are every bit as much of the feast as the physical bread itself. And so there's a sacramental element. And then we, you know, have the bread here at the table, and somebody might say, well, there's nothing special about that bread. It's the same kind of bread they use at home, right? You got bread I had for breakfast this morning. And the church responds, yes, it is exactly the same kind of bread. Why? Because in making this bread holy, Jesus has in turn made all of our bread holy. All of our meals sacramental. All of our sustenance an opportunity to remember God's provision for us and transform the way we eat and the way we consume and the way our needs are met, to always remember Him as we do at the table here in the sanctuary. And so there's always a sacramental element. God's presence in the bread, no matter when or where we receive it. We also have to look at the fact that there are some difficult parts of this line of prayer. It seems so easy. Give us this day our daily bread. It's not hard. Give us what we need. We do that all the time. We pray all the time. But it is hard when we think about the fact that, well, we don't really need daily bread. Well, we do, but we don't necessarily think we need God for it. Right? Because we got plenty of it in our pantry and in our fridge. It's available anywhere and everywhere. When we ask where our next meal is coming from, it doesn't mean when will I get another meal or will I get another meal. It means which restaurant are we going to go to if we're arguing in the car, or who are we going to have it delivered from. That's not what this means. Our daily bread is not a question of where we're going to get it. It's a question of whether we're going to get it. And so that's hard for us when we pretty much know that it's coming. When we pretty much know that we have enough. So this is a prayer for the poor. This is a prayer for the hungry. Imagine the work it takes to make bread when you can't just go to the store and get it. It's easy for us. I remember there was a night when I was going to do communion with the council at the beginning of the year, and I had forgotten the bread. So I ran to Family Dollar. What bread do they have? Hamburger buns and hot dog buns. We had communion with hot dog buns. Worked just fine. But the point was, it was available, readily available at a moment's notice. But how many of you have baked bread? I know Polly did last week for us. Is that something you do in a moment? Not an easy process. That's why everybody started baking bread at the beginning of the pandemic, right? We got all this time on our hands. What are we going to do? Let's bake bread. Something takes a long time. Something takes time. Baking bread is a process. It's an ordeal. There's something that's difficult about it, and people don't always have enough to bake the bread they need. Imagine a woman, for example, somewhere in Honduras, and they don't have wheat. They've got a cornfield that their family has grown, and the woman goes out every single morning, climbs the mountain to gather the wood for the fire, comes back down, builds the fire, goes back up the stream to gather water to be able to cook, then comes back down and grinds the corn and makes the bread and kneads it and creates the tortillas, essentially, in her hand. Flatbread, fry it on the pan, and gives one piece at a time to each child and their family, knowing that that's the only food that they will receive that day, and praying that the crop of corn will last through the season. So make sure that that piece of bread is available each and every day through the year. I have a feeling that to somebody like that, the prayer "Give us this day our daily bread" means something a lot different than it does to us. And so this is a prayer from the poor, from the hungry, but it is also a prayer for the poor and for the hungry, because as it was mentioned earlier, we are praying, "Give us this day," and so we include those in need in our prayer. And just as we said, our prayer for the kingdom is also a prayer that says, "God, help us to build the kingdom." So we are saying, "And give us our daily bread, God, help us to make sure that others also have their daily bread, that others have enough." You see, it's really, really hard to pray for our daily bread, to pray for enough, when we're more consumed with, do we have enough bread for a lifetime? Do we have enough in our investments and in our retirement funds, in our bank accounts and all this stuff to make sure that we can last all the way until death, and maybe even more? Do we have enough so that our children and our grandchildren will be okay? We think in terms of these extensive futures that most people in the world have no concept of. That's not a prayer for daily bread. That's a prayer for, "God, give me enough that I nor my family never have to worry again," while others in the world don't know if they have enough for today. It's hard to pray for daily bread when we're praying for enough for a lifetime or multiple lifetimes. It's hard to pray for daily bread when the bread we have is molding or getting freezer burned because we've got too much. The daily part doesn't make sense in our context, and yet this is what Jesus calls us to. He reminds us in Luke's gospel a warning when Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, "Watch out, guard yourself against all kinds of greed. After all, one's life is not determined by one's possessions, even if someone is wealthy." And he told them a parable. A certain rich man had produced a bountiful crop. And he said, "What will I do? I have no place to store my harvest." Side note, I've always found that unusual about American culture. You know how many storage units we've got? Building everywhere we turn. I just can't wrap my mind around paying for a place to store stuff that I may never get to. Maybe once a year at the most, if that. Doesn't make sense. But the point is, we understand in America this concept. I don't have a place to store my stuff, right? I don't have enough space. I don't have a big enough attic or a big enough garage. And so here's what I'll do, the man says. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. I'll go rent a self-storage unit or a couple of them. Climate control, by the way. Because our stuff needs to make sure it can weather the storm better than those who are living in the street. He says, "I'll go and build myself bigger barns. That's where I'll store my grain and my goods. I'll say to myself, 'You have stored up plenty of goods, enough for several years. And so take it easy. Eat, drink, enjoy yourself.'" This is the American dream, right? Get to the place where we don't have to work anymore. We don't have to worry about what's coming. But God said in verse 20, "Fool, tonight your life will be taken from you. And now who will get all that you have prepared for yourself?" We dare not pray for more than our daily bread. We dare not pray for more than enough. We dare not pray for more storage to contain what we have, or more places to invest or save or protect this stuff that is being hoarded that we will never be able to use. We dare not pray that because we fall into the temptation of being self-sufficient. We fall into the temptation of thinking, this prayer that Jesus taught us, that line doesn't really apply to me. I don't really need to pray for my daily bread because I have worked hard enough to take care of it myself. And I'm covered. I'm good. We dare not come to that point where we no longer feel an acute dependence on God for our provisions. for what we need. This is the great temptation. And in the same way, we are much like those we heard about earlier in the Exodus, in the wilderness. That God provided the daily bread. He provided the manna from heaven as the people wandered. And he said very clearly, you will get enough for each morning. The bread of heaven, miracle bread, that appears in the dew on the ground. And they gather enough for the day. But what do? Just like us. They gather a bunch more. We got to have enough at least for the week, right? You don't go to the grocery store and get just what you need for that night. You go to the grocery store and get what you need for a week or 2 weeks or a month. And so they did the same thing. They went out and they gathered the manna. And there was plenty. They kept gathering and gathering, and everybody had enough. And the next day they get up to fix their meals and realize that all of it had rotted, that all of it had been eaten by maggots, that there was nothing left of what they had saved, even overnight. Why? Because God said, get enough for the day. And then they have the opposite problem. They get to the end of the week and God says, hey, take a day off. Take a day to worship. Take a day to celebrate. Take a day to focus on maybe those first two lines of the prayer about praising for the way the kingdom is showing up and the way the people are being provided for and the way God's provisions are available to you, and praise God for that. Make God's name holy in all the earth by setting apart this day. Don't work on this day. Don't strive on this day. Don't cook and gather on this day. Set this day apart as a Sabbath. And the first thing that people do is they get up in the morning and they've got enough bread because the bread they got the day before, it didn't rot. God protected it and saved it for that day. But what do? Huh? We got to go out and find one. Because, hey, there wasn't bread on that one day, on the Sabbath, the seventh day. What if on the eighth day there's not bread either? We've got to find all we can. It's all this worry that there might not be on the next day. Friends, that is our life. As much as we want to judge the people in Exodus and say how foolish they were for all the miracles they've seen God do, they've been rescued from slavery, they've crossed the Red Sea, they have been freed from Pharaoh's hand, and we think, how can they not trust God for something as simple as bread? And yet, that is our life. Every day, trying to gather too much. Every day, throwing away what has rotted. Every day, people dying and having all of these fortunes that go nowhere to no use. That is our life. And we have convinced ourselves that to live day to day, to live paycheck to paycheck, to truly be dependent on God for what we need, that's a shameful thing in our world. That's the way we see lazy people. But they didn't work hard enough. You know, when we look at 40%+ of people in our country that cannot retire, that don't have enough even for 1 year of retirement, you say, well, they should have saved. But how many of them struggle for their daily bread? And how many of us have saved so much that it's never even crossed our minds that there might be someone even in our own community, some child coming home from school on a weekend who might not get another meal until Monday morning when they go back to school and get breakfast? And so for those of us who have enough, we must remember this prayer for our daily bread is something more. This prayer for our daily bread is a prayer for all to have their daily bread. A prayer that calls us to make sure that all are fed and cared for and provided for. And a prayer that says something like this: God, grant me the grace to know when enough is enough. Help me to say no to the expectations of this world to keep consuming more. Help me to be content in all things, to give you praise and glory for all you have provided, and to share all that you have provided with all you have placed in my path. This is what it means to pray for our daily bread. And so let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we come And we indeed give you praise and thanks for the ways that you have given us so much more than our daily bread, far more than we could ask or imagine. For the ease and convenience with which we eat and with which our basic needs are provided for. And yet, Lord, we also come with a repentant heart for the ways we keep insisting on getting more, for the ways we hoard, for the ways our greed takes over, for the ways we have become paralyzed by fear that one day it will all run out and we have to keep saving because we might not have enough, for the ways that we have only given our leftovers and our crumbs to those in need instead of inviting them to sit at the table with you and feast. And so, Lord, help us to set more chairs at our tables. Help us to extend your feast. Help us to extend your banqueting table of love over us to all the world. That you would truly give all of us this day our daily bread. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.